So thank you to all the attendees. This is the forecasting report for fats, oils, and fuels for August 10th. Today I have Bob Lane with us, and Bob Lane is going to go over the RIN forecast, and he's also going to talk a little bit about renewable diesel capacity. Is that right, Bob?
That is it. Thank you, George.
Right. Yeah, sure. I'll go ahead and share out the RIN forecast here, Bob, but we'll pass it over to you.
Great, thanks.
And as always, if anybody has any questions, please go ahead and go ahead and submit them in the Q&A section. There you go, Bob, with the RIN forecast up here for you right now.
All right, much appreciated. Okay, so, you know, it's been a really interesting year for RINs. I guess it's always an interesting year for RINs. You never know what they're going to do. You can see back in January, we had a really nice spike in RIN prices, and that all had to do with the 10th appellate court's ruling telling the EPA that they had to reconsider the way they're looking at RINs. There was a case of three refiners at that time, and they said, you know what, the way that RINs are supposed to be done is it's a continuation from year to year. So they basically told them to, you know, go back and relook at these, and it could have wide ramifications on RINs going forward. In past years, there had been small refinery exemptions had grown from, I think it was like 7 or 8 in, for the 2015 year to 30 plus 35 recently, maybe 34 last year, exempting, you know, billions of gallons from having to be blended with renewable fuel. And naturally that put a dampening effect on RIN prices from where they were at highs back in, you know, 2014, 15. And so with that ruling in place, RIN prices took off. You can see ethanol RINs had a larger increase than biodiesel RINs. So far for this year, biodiesel RINs have traded in a range of 36.5 cents all the way up to 64.25. Ethanol RINs, though, moved from a low of 13.5 cents all the way up to 51.25. The rise is a 76% increase for biodiesel RINs and a 280% increase for ethanol RINs. Ethanol RINs face something that biodiesel doesn't. There's a 10% blend wall, and when that 10% blend wall becomes an issue, you find that ethanol RINs trade at a value very close to biodiesel RINs. So you can see as we look out going forward, we expect RIN prices to rise. And I think part of that assumption is, you know, the EPA could come back and say that, you know, they're currently reevaluating those RINs as requested. However, now there's refiners applying for partial RINs, RINs for past years. So there's a lot of area for them to cover. And if they decide to not allow these RIN exemptions for refiners, you'll see a spike in RIN prices. And even for biodiesel, that'll go up because biodiesel becomes the next gallon for filling that RIN gap that could happen if there's a, you know, 10% blend wall breach. We don't envision that happening this year. It could happen next, but, you know, given surroundings around the pandemic, that's not exactly baked in the stone either. So we expect that prices might go higher. They could come back and move lower as well. I mean, it's kind of like RINs are currently deer in a headlight right now. They're waiting on the EPA. If the EPA allows all these SREs to continue or allow partial ones, then that's going to take a lot of the heat off of ethanol RINs and will lower biodiesel RINs. The biomass-based diesel segment as a whole is a lot different than what we find in ethanol. Biodiesel production is pretty much front-loaded in the industry. It's been proven year after year that they aren't always as forward-looking or thinking as or quick to react as their ethanol counterparts are. The market doesn't move quickly to change. And currently, biodiesel production in particular, biomass-based diesel production in total, has been running really hard, and it's probably stronger than it needs to be at this point. So, you know, that could provide a double whammy, you know, in the fourth quarter for RIN values if EPA decides to allow SRE exemptions. They may also, you know, biodiesel industry might find itself overproducing for what they have to produce, because as this pandemic has come through, the quotas, the mandates are being reduced based on reduced productions. So biodiesel has been running hard. There's another piece to that puzzle, not just biodiesel, but renewable diesel. And that industry has very strong demand coming out of California. Almost all renewable diesel flows into the California market, a little bit into Oregon. This will keep pressure on production to a certain degree within the biomass-based diesel category. Recently, we've seen, you know, during this latest earnings seasons, is both Valero and CVR come out and say that they expect RIN compliance costs to rise, you know, $100 million this year for each of their companies. Luckily, renewable diesel margins have been far superior to those of biodiesel for some of these companies. This has been known within the renewable diesel for renewable diesel producers. However, it's not surprising that oil interests have caught on and they're looking to convert underperforming refineries into renewable diesel production. You know, CVR had announced recently that they're looking at converting their Wynnewood plant to renewable diesel. They have a very aggressive time frame for that. They've got the assets in place. They figure that having that and hydrogen on hand, it makes their cost of converting to renewable diesel probably five times below what it would cost to start up a renewable diesel plant. They also realize that, and stated in their conference call, that the biodiesel tax credit is firmly in place through 2022. They want to be on board and producing as much renewable diesel as possible during that time. I think they were looking to have the conversion complete by the end of June next year, and then running full steam to collect that credit for the next 18 months that it's firmly in place. So not only do they have the dollar per gallon blender's tax credit, but even if you're using soybean oil as a feedstock, which they stated that they will be using, going into the California market, the LCFS credit on renewable diesel using soybean oil is approximately another dollar. So they're looking to recoup a lot of cost on that. Their refinery is going to have a capacity of about 100 million gallons a year. Recently, just after their call came out, Marathon had stated that they're going to be closing their Martinez refinery in California. They're looking into converting that to renewable diesel. That'll be a huge project. They're already working on their Dickinson, North Dakota refinery, which should be open this year, and it's going to have a capacity of 175 million gallons once they come online. This Martinez facility, if it does get converted, it sounds like it's going to have the ability to produce 700 million gallons a year. So, you know, we're looking at a marketplace for renewable diesel that's really set to grow significantly. You know, looking at what's here domestically, currently have like 490 million gallons of capacity in the U.S. Once Dickinson comes on, that's going to punch it up to, you know, just over a million gallons. Figuring the co-processing, the total of totals, it's going to be just over a billion gallons of renewable diesel that will be online. Some of the larger ones, as stated, will be the Marathon refinery if that comes through. Holly Frontier has two refineries that are going to combine to be about 200 million gallons. Next Fuels in Portland is working on a facility for 500 million gallons. So by 2025, there's going to be a little over 3 billion gallons of capacity out there. So RINs, always a tricky story. It's kind of a wait and see on the EPA as to what's going to happen there. In the meantime, I think a lot of people, within a year or two past, have recognized the value of California, Oregon, and the developing renewable diesel markets that are out there, and they're looking to take advantage of it. So I think that kind of wraps me up, unless there's any questions.
Okay. Bob, it said, one of the questions we have here is a lot of the oil refiners are converting to renewable diesel. Any thoughts on feedstock?
Yeah, that's interesting because initially, I think it was BP in Washington had, big plans to go with the highest performing feedstocks, used cooking oil, tallow, et cetera, capture a large amount of credit. And that seemed to be what a lot of them may have been looking for, but that hasn't been the case lately. Sinclair's moved in. They've been soybean oil. The Martinez refinery is going to be soybean oil, I guess, perhaps corn oil as well. And the Dickinson, North Dakota, corn oil and soybean oil. And it appears that, CVR is looking at 100% soybean oil. They want to get that plant up and running. And the most abundant feedstock right now is soybean oil. So they just want to run with it, collect credits, and move forward.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. We have a question. What is your D4 high-low price forecast for 2021 and 2022?
I don't have that in front of me right now.
Do we pull up our RIN forecast, Bob, going into 2021?
Sure.
Pull that up for you. Yeah, I don't think we go out to 2022, but this is what we've got for 2021, going out to June of 2021.
Yeah, we'd have to revisit that. However, I would say, again, this is going to be completely dependent upon what the EPA decides this year. If they allow partial exemptions for previous years and partial exemptions going forward, that would likely be enough to keep the 10% blend wall at bay. If they follow through with what the 10th Circuit Court had felt was the way RINs should be treated, the small refinery exemptions, then I think you're going to see a big spike in RIN prices. And, it depends on how difficult this pandemic is during 2021. But if it does allow for the blend wall to be pierced, and that's something we're going to have to look at in further detail, you'll see back where RIN prices are, probably up over a dollar again, just like they were a few years ago. And very little difference between a biodiesel RIN and an ethanol RIN. I think at times there was a 4-cent difference to like a 13-cent difference when things were really bad with the blend wall concerns. And that would likely happen again if they don't allow the small refinery exemptions to continue.
Thank you, Bob. I don't see any more questions from the audience. So thank you for taking the time to share that with us and to the attendees. We'll see you next week when we go into our next step of the forecast. Thanks again, Bob.
Thanks, George. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.